sooner or later in our lives as Christians, the world affects us. When we became Christians, we made up our minds to leave the world behind. And it's the best we could do to give our lives to Christ and to live for Him and no longer love the world. And it's a great challenge for us as Christians to be in the world but not allow the world to get in us. But it happens. And it influences us and it affects our lives as Christians. And whatever aspect of the world affects us as Christians, it affects us to no good. And it affects us if we don't overcome it through the power of God. It will cause us to quit. I think it's important for us to understand that just as those fish, those salmon, swimming upstream, they're fighters. They have a God-given, innate, God has given them this mechanism. I don't know what He gave them, how He gave it. I know He created them, but I don't know. It's amazing to me that they can swim the ocean and they can go back to the very place they were born to spawn and lay eggs and do all of that. And they fight upstream. And there certainly is something we can learn from these salmon that they keep on keeping on to death. I think all of us understand that it would be really easy just to give up and quit. It's easier to just not even try to be a Christian. It's hard to give it all you got. And let me say this, it is hard to give all you got all of the time. Some of us can give a little bit every once in a while, but that's not going to get the job done. We need to give all that we have all the time. But who among us does that? We all fall short. As we talked a little bit about this in Bible class, I think we do have the feeling from time to time about just quitting. Being a preacher does not in any way keep me from feeling that way at times too. We get frustrated. We get upset. And there's just a thousand of reasons that the devil will use. And he, if we allow him, he will eventually find the right combination for you and for me. And we'll quit. There's been too many Christians throughout the years that once were faithful that just have quit. And don't you ever, ever, ever think that you are above and beyond quitting. And there may be some of us here that just right on the edge of jumping. Well, this morning I would like to talk to us about when you have those feelings of quitting. What do you do? How do you overcome that? How do you brush yourself off and get back up and try again? And go harder than you ever went before? Well, one of the things that I think has been such a great encouragement to me is the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a passage that, or is a letter that has a great deal of meat in it. But it has a lot of encouragement. And this morning, rather hurriedly, I want to look at several statements that are made in this great text. And I hope you'll mark these down, I hope you'll remember them, and I hope you will use them for yourself. Here's the basic point of the book Hebrews. Is to keep on keeping on and don't go back. Don't give up. The writer, and I don't know if it was Paul or not, but he was an inspired writer, and he wrote to Hebrew Christians who, according to the text, were being tempted to go back to the old law. And one of the key words in the book of Hebrews is better. And the encouragement that this writer gives these Jewish Christians, that you've got it better under Christ than you had it under Moses. One of the key words here is confidence. Confidence is something we all, in our life as a Christian, we lose our confidence. Sports figures do that. There are baseball players that could, you know, maybe been hitting over 300. And they get into a real important series that would get them into the World Series. And they couldn't hit a refrigerator if it was thrown at them. And they lose their confidence. They get up there and they just feel like they can't do it. And they've been doing it for years. That happens to us as Christians. Sometimes we get the feeling, because we're being attacked by the devil, he takes away your confidence that you really can't be faithful. You really can't do this. He attacks your family. He attacks your spouse. He attacks your children. He attacks your parents, your job, your health. He does anything and everything he can to take away your confidence. This great book gives us confidence. Gives back your confidence. You never will hit a home run unless you swing at one. You got to keep swinging. You got to keep getting up there and trying. So let's look at some of these great passages this morning. In the very first chapter, verses 1 and 2, we learn from the beginning of the text. It says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He has appointed heirs of all things, through whom also He made the world. And it's significant that the writer just says, you know, Jesus has spoken to us today. And here's what's important for you to remember about this book and how it can encourage you. Maybe you would think that, wow, it would just be so awesome if I could sit down one-on-one with Jesus and let Him talk to me and He would encourage me and I could regain my confidence and I wouldn't quit. Well, this is that book. These are the words of the Lord. This is what He would say to you. So you need to allow the Lord to speak to you, to let Him encourage you. That's the reason these words were written. When we go to chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the words spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And what he says is we need to pay attention. And that's what happens to us, brethren. We stop paying attention. You drive your automobile, and if you've got your phone, if you get a text, you want to check your email, and you're driving a car, that ain't good. And you may think, oh man, I'm confident. I can drive a car and look at my phone too. Yeah, you might be able to do that. But there have been a lot of people that thought they could do that, and they had a wreck. You see, your attention to what is most important is driving that car. You can check your phone later. You can pull over and check your phone. And I'm talking to myself here too. And it only takes one accident to really mess up your life. Well, what is your mission? What is your purpose? What is your focus supposed to be on from this text? Upon the Lord. And what happens? We don't pay attention. We're looking here and there and yonder and yon. And we lose our focus. And God has always followed through with what He says. We may get the idea that, you know, me serving God and being faithful and doing what He says, well, maybe He's letting up on that a little bit. Maybe He's not really focusing on me. Maybe I'm the exception. Whatever you're thinking. The devil draws your attention away from what's most important, your mission. And when you don't pay attention and you forget what God says, you're going to fall. Do you really, really, really believe, knowing what God commands and what God demands of us as far as our servitude and our sacrifice, if we don't give our all, do you really believe that you're going to get away with that? If you read this great book, you're going to be reminded, no, you're not. So here's a motivation. You feel you're slipping away. You feel you're drifting away. You stop paying attention. You're neglecting your salvation. God is not going to allow you to slide away with that. The word neglect here in this passage really has to do with to ignore. It's to see if these synonyms don't apply to each of us at some point in our life as a Christian. We neglect, we ignore, we reject, we're careless of, we disregard, without concern, unaffected, viewing something as being without significance or any value. I'm not going to read my Bible today. I'm not going to read it tomorrow. I'm not going to read it all this week. Why? Because it's not really that significant. It really doesn't help me all that much when I read it. Where in the world did you learn that trash at? You didn't learn that from God. You learned that from the world. You learned that from the devil. So here is just the encouragement. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I need to be reminded of that sometimes. Another passage, chapter 2 and verse 17. The text says, therefore He had to be made like His brethren in all things, that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make the propitiation for the sins of the people. For since He Himself was tempted in that which He has suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Jesus, while on earth, we might say, He'd been there and done that. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Son of God, put on the flesh. And He put on the flesh and lived on this earth, and He knows exactly what we go through. Now, how's that a benefit to me? Well, He is our mediator. He is our Savior. He is our high priest. And what He is able to do, He knows the tough times and the difficulties and the temptations we go through. When we are going through tough times, probably you shouldn't Google that. Probably you should talk to someone who is a faithful Christian who can encourage you and help lift you up. The ultimate of one that you can contact and talk to is Jesus Christ. We have the privilege, brethren, of talking to God, to praying to our God, and He will help us in our time of need. But the problem is, when we are starting to drift away, and we're starting to slip away, sometimes we're deceived that we're even drifting. And somebody says something to us about it, and we're offended. We're offended. We're upset. Because anybody would suggest that our attendance or our participation in teaching the Bible or participating in Bible classes. We're offended that anybody would suggest such a thing. And brother and sister in Christ, we just deceive ourselves. If you just look at yourself, look into this great book, and you will see yourself for what you really are. And God has given us this great book so that we can see that we're drifting. So we can see that we're given into temptation. So we can see that we really do love the world. Because God puts this bar. He puts this level of where we ought to be. And when we search the Word of God, we'll see and find out as we look at ourselves honestly that we're not there. So what the Hebrew writer does, he says, look to the Lord. Look to Jesus. He will help you. He will encourage you to do better. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Do you know who that speaks to? Every single one of us in this room. Every one of us. Paul said it this way. To him that thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. We all may think that we're, you know, really a good Christian. But we're all capable at any time of doing the wrong thing. And the devil knows that. And he is relentless in trying to get us to stumble. But God is relentless in trying to help us to be faithful. We do really need each other. I know we take each other for granted from time to time. And there are some of us that get on our nerves. I get on your nerves, I'm sure, at some point in time. You get on my nerves sometimes. But we love each other, right? We want to go to heaven, right? Don't we realize how much we need each other? There are many of you that travel and are gone and you come back. Aren't you glad to be back home? Aren't you glad to be among people that love you and care about you and that will see about you and so forth? Now here's the problem. When you're a part of a group like this, but you're not a part of a group like this. You're here bodily every once in a blue moon, but then you're out there in the world doing your thing all the other time. There's no connect. No wonder you get discouraged. No wonder you feel like quitting. Because you have no connect with the very people that God has given you to help you to keep on keeping on. You reject the team concept. You reject the family concept. And you say, well, Brother Slee, what are you talking about? You're just not a part. You know who you are. You know whom I'm speaking to. You're really not involved in this church. And that's nobody's fault but your own. Well, this writer says, look, you need to be careful, brethren, in falling away. For he says, verse 13, but encourage one another day after day. If you're all about being a part of this group and encouraging other people, guess what you're doing for yourself? If you make it your mission, wasn't it Brother D. Bowman that talked about the Barnabas spirit? Wasn't it D.? He spoke of that. If you go back and study Barnabas, maybe one of these days we'll just talk about Barnabas in a whole lesson because he is the son of encouragement. What if we each lived our lives that here's my job as a member of the Anderson Church. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to go around and encourage. If you notice the little Rose Boys, they go around and hug everybody. Isn't that encouraging? That's an encouraging thing. Now, they're not the only ones that do anything like that, but I'm just pointing them out, that they do that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If they could do, well, we could do that. We don't have to come in and sit down in our seat and just, you know, wait for everybody to come see us. Aren't you good enough to get up out of your seat and go see somebody else and encourage them? Why are you sitting in your seat as if you're the only one here? What is the deal with that? Well, here's the point. We need each other. We need each other to the point that we need to keep on keeping on as best that we can, because we need each other to survive as Christians. Let's go to the next passage, chapter 4. Notice this great text. Similar to the one we read in chapter 2. Since then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Notice that idea of keeping on, keeping on. Holding fast. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. And what he's saying is because we have such a great high priest, we ought to be very confident about praying to Him about it, asking Him and talking to Him to help us, to encourage us. Did you know you can receive mercy and grace in the time of need? Larry and Bobby White over here are mechanics. If I got a mechanical problem, you know who I'm going to talk to? I'm going to talk to Mary Lou. Well, she don't know doodly squat about mechanical stuff. And that's what we do. We get in trouble, we talk to people that don't know squat. How about finding people that know something about what they're talking about? If I got banking issues, who am I going to talk to? I'll talk to Mark. There's other bankers. There's Julie Rose back there. They know stuff about banks. You follow what I'm saying? When you are spiritually falling, drifting away, who should you talk to? How about talking to the one that really knows? Jesus. How about listening to what He's got to say? He will give you mercy and grace. He will help you. He'll make you stronger. Notice this passage, chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, and instruction about washing, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal punishment. Now, there's a bunch of topics right there, men. Those of you that are scheduled to preach, we've had that schedule up all year long. Y'all know all my meetings. You know exactly when I'm going to be gone. And need people to preach lessons. What do you need to preach? What are some things you could talk about? Man, there's about 6 sermons right there. Pick them out. Work on it. What would it be helpful to? It would be helpful for you to encourage yourself, but it encourages others. These are some pretty tough topics. But now the writer says, well, we're going to skip all of those meaty topics. Then he says, and this we shall do if God permits. Verse 4. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of age to come. Who are these people? Christians. They're disciples. These are people that have come to the Lord and they've enjoyed all the great fellowship of God. Verse 6. And then have fallen away. If this passage doesn't teach that once in grace, always in grace is a false doctrine, there's no passage in Scripture that teaches it. Here's a person that has tasted this heavenly gift, and after hearing the Word of God and believing, obeying the Word of God, they fall away. But notice what it says. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since or while they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Now, just so there's no misunderstanding, this text is teaching a very, very simple principle. When you become a Christian, you're baptized into Jesus Christ, and you have received the forgiveness of your sins, and you have all spiritual blessings in Christ, and you're living the Christian life, and then you fall away, the analogy that the writer here says, you have again crucified the Son of God. You put Him on the cross again. You're guilty of that. Now listen to what he says. It's impossible to renew you to repentance. Why? The only thing that can bring you out of the world into Jesus Christ is His Word. Now you've rejected that because you've gone back into the world. You've rejected what this Word teaches. This Word teaches you to be faithful. What have you done? You've ignored that, go back into the world. Now what can bring you back out of the world? Nothing. Because you've rejected the only thing that'll save you. Brethren, that ought to cause us to fear, to tremble. That we become so lackadaisical sometimes. We become so just totally oblivious to God's Word and His warnings. Sometimes we sit here, and all of us, I'm talking about me in this, brethren. We hear the Word of God and He warns us and He teaches us. And it's just like water on a duck's back. We hear it and it doesn't affect us. We don't make any changes and we just go back out there and do what we want to do. Do you realize that you've just fallen away? You've fallen away. And you're rejecting the only thing that can save you. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't do that. Don't be that way. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Okay, just imagine. There's a flood. Michael is on the roof of this building. He's got a rope. And there's alligators and crocodiles and poisonous snakes all in the water, and they're coming right toward you. You're in the water. And Michael throws you down a rope. And he says, hold on tight, I'm going to pull you up. Do you know what hold on tight means? What does that mean? When you grab that rope, you hold on tight. Your knuckles get white. And he starts pulling you up. I got faith and confidence that big boy right there can pull me up. I'm going to hold on. And as he's pulling me up, I don't want to let go. Why? Because there's snakes and crocodiles and water, and I'm holding on tight for dear life. Did you read what this passage said? Spiritually speaking, he is saying, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. If you will hang on and not give up, God will save you. When are we not saved? Well, God doesn't show up. No, God is always there. It's when we let go. It's when we let go. Have you ever let go? Me too. Why do we do that? Why do we let go? Verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Did you know that I'm supposed to pay attention and see if you're letting go? Did you know you're supposed to pay attention and see if I'm letting go? Sometimes you see these competitions and so forth where there's teams, they're competing against other teams and so forth, and maybe they've got to climb over something, they've got to go up the rope or whatever, and the others there, you know, they're all dependent on one another, you know, doing their thing and working together, and they're encouraging each other, you know, keep going, you can go, you can go. And as they start to slip down, they cheer them on, and they want to help them, you know, to get up there. That is what church is about. Do not get offended if I or my wife send you a text and say, we missed you Sunday. You know what we're trying to do? We don't know whether you're letting go and falling or what. We love you. We care about you. There ought to be all kinds of texting going on. There ought to be all kinds of emailing going on. There ought to be all kinds of phone calls going on. We ought to be helping each other to hold on to the confession of our faith. Why? Because we're in this together. We're in this together. God is always going to be faithful. He's always going to be there. But you might be waiting to hear from me and you not hear from me. I guarantee in 2 years plus, there's been times in your life when things were not right, not good, and you wanted to hear from me and you never heard from me. Is that true?
Did you know there are times that I wanted to hear from you and you never said boo? Works both ways, doesn't it? We can't put our faith and trust in men. We put our faith and trust in God. God is always there. Motivate others to love and good works. Do all that you can to help each other. Don't forsake coming together. Help others. Notice this text here. Verse 26 and 27. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins. Repeating the same thing in chapter 6. And he says, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of the fire which will consume the adversaries. If we keep on sinning willfully, and understand, when we make up our minds to quit, we are sinning willfully. We know the truth. I've talked to hundreds of Christians through the years. Sit down in their living room on the couch there and talk to them, and they hadn't been serving the Lord for a while. And I talk to them about coming back to the Lord, and they say, "Oh, I know I ought to do that. I know." What's the problem? There ain't no want to. Our want to's broke. We talked about that in Bible class. This true love for God, to be totally committed to sacrifice and serving Him. Let it soak in that when we give up, there's no more forgiveness. Let that soak in. When you give up, there's no more forgiveness. Hell's awful hot. And it's a long time. Simply because I gave up my want to. Verse 35. Some of the most encouraging passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't throw it away. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, He who is coming will come, and He will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Did you hear that? Don't throw away your great reward. You are here today as a child of God to give honor and glory and worship to God and His Son. What a blessing we all receive through His grace and His mercy because of the great sacrifice that was made for me and for you. Do you understand what we're working for? Do you understand what we're striving for? We're striving for heaven. We're striving for eternity with God in heaven forever. Don't throw it away. Don't give it up for nothing. She ain't worth it. He ain't worth it in some adulterous affair. The money ain't worth it. There ain't anything worth it to give up. Throw away. You need endurance to do the will of God, to keep on keeping on, to receive the promise. Please don't quit. That's what this book emphasizes. Now, I would encourage each and every one of us as Christians, whoever you are, when you start to feel like you're slipping away, you ought to read this great book. You need to listen to it. You see that picture there? Do you see the difference in that picture and the first picture I showed you? The first picture I showed you, how many fish were in there? How many fish is there?
You know what happens sometimes, brethren? We're the only fish in the stream going the right direction. I wonder if that fish looked around and said, "Where's everybody else at?" But there's something within him that tells him, keep on keeping on. And he will keep on keeping on until he's dead or he arrives. What are we doing? Can we honestly say we're giving our best, we're doing our best, we're giving it our all? Or maybe this morning you're offended. Maybe you're just, your feelings are hurt. Because I would even begin to think that there's anybody in this building that is drifting away. Don't we know who God is talking to this morning? Isn't He talking to me? Isn't He talking to you? There's nothing greater and better that I look forward to than hearing God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But I allow a lot of things to get in the way. And my devotion and my commitment is not what it ought to be sometimes. I fall way short too many times and in too many ways. It motivates me when I'm trying to motivate you. And you may wonder from time to time, how do I choose what to say to you? I choose to say to you what I'm trying to say to myself. It ain't easy. It's difficult. But you know what? We can do it. We can do it. God Almighty, through His Son, gives us the power and the courage and the strength. If we've got enough want to, He's got enough grace and mercy to help us. You got to give it your best, brethren. You got to stop playing church. You got to stop just hitting and missing. Either you're on it or you're not. Either you're with it or you're not. Either you're giving it your all or you're playing. I want to give it my all. I can do better. Can you do better? Can you do more? If we work together, we can encourage each other. If we work together, we can help each other. And maybe one day we can all hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Hope Marla hears that. Hope my wife hears that. And I hope I'm standing right there next to Donna Rose when the Lord says, "Donna, you've been a great servant. Come on into heaven." I'm going to be excited for her. But I sure hope that's what the Lord tells me. I want to hear that too. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?